This is item G, trial court allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and Trial Court Trust Fund for court-related projects and programs. It's an action item. We welcome Presiding Judge Lori Earl, Zlatko Theodorovich, and Stephen, assisting with PowerPoint and other things. You may begin.
Judge, I believe we have public comment for this agenda item.
Thank you. We do. We have one person. I hope she's here. Two people. I show Annabelle Garay. Please come forward.
Good morning, Chief Justice and Council members. My name is Annabelle Garay, and I'm a field representative with the California Federation of Interpreters. I'm here to object on behalf of the California Federation of Interpreters to Recommendation 2, Item G, which is on page 16 of your materials. As noted on page 9 of today's materials, this proposal would reduce by $1.73 million the TCIMF allocation that has funded the Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Project for a decade and replace that allocation with funds from the interpreter budget, Program 4545. This would have the net effect of reducing the overall funding available for interpreter services by that amount, $1.73 million. Given the demand for expansion of interpreter services that's addressed in several items on today's agenda, and the pending Department of Justice investigation and their recommendations, this is a very poorly considered recommendation. In fact, the first recommendation of the May 22nd DOJ letter was to, quote, refrain from taking any actions to reallocate appropriations from the 4545 fund. The fact that the 4545 funds will be spent on interpreter services does not justify this shift in funding. The issue is that by dramatically reducing the TCIMF contribution to the Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Program, the council would in essence be redirecting funds out of Program 4545 that would otherwise be available for the expansion of interpreter services and for maintaining current demands of the trial courts for interpreter services. These decisions were made without direct consultation with CFI, the Professional Association for Interpreters in California. We are simply left to respond during public comments as mere outsiders. We urge the council to reconsider and reject this recommendation. There is adequate funding in the TCIMF to continue funding the Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Program in the same manner that it has been funded for the past 10 years. I yield the rest of my time to my colleague, Mary Lou Aranguren.
Thank you. Good morning, Chief Justice and Council members. We appreciate the recent remarks by the Chief highlighting the need to expand access for California's diverse population and the essential need for interpreter services for LEP court users that is not being met. We also appreciate your call for us to hear each other's concerns and work together to achieve these important goals. And we appreciate your comments this morning. We don't doubt the intentions behind those words. Unfortunately, actions by staff, judicial council committees, and the AOC and regions are sending interpreters a different message. The recommended budget action before you today to reduce overall interpreter funding by $1.73 million speaks volumes and is contrary to the assertion that expanding access is a priority. The entire 4545 budget, the surplus, and the TCIMF funding to the Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Program, all this funding is needed to expand services to LEP court users and to address interpreter wages and benefits. I cannot stress enough that until the Department of Justice recommendations are addressed, many LEP parties are denied services every day in the courts. Providing meaningful language access also means taking care of service providers. As stakeholders As the 900 people who show up every day to bridge the language gap in our courts, our members are not being taken into account as plans move forward on budget decisions, on spending the surplus, on plans for remote interpreting, and on expanding our services. Two working groups have been appointed to create a statewide language access plan and to recommend how to spend what is now a nearly $17 million surplus in the interpreter budget. And CFI, the interpreter's representative, does not have a place at the table for these discussions. The message this sends is that the process is not transparent and that our expertise and perspectives will not be fairly considered. An open and inclusive process is essential to any cooperative effort. If that's not available, then we have to take our message elsewhere where it will be heard. We're all aware that the interpreter budget has been underspent and swept for years, and funding has been redirected, leaving interpreter wages stagnant. Now more than half of the interpreters in the state in Los Angeles and the Bay Area counties are working under an expired contract. The 600 interpreters working in these regions have received no COLA or pay increase of any kind in 6 years. Historically, interpreters who are largely women and minorities have consistently been treated as outsiders and less favorably when it comes to wages than other court employees.
Time has expired.
Despite our rare skills and the demand for our services. And I will submit the rest of my comments in writing. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Earle.
Thank you, Chief. We are here to bring to you recommendations for the allocation from the State Court Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and Trial Court Trust Fund for court-related projects and programs. I wanted to take a moment just to share with you the process that we use to get this recommendation before you today, and then Zlatka will walk you through the recommendations as well as address the concerns expressed by the California Federation of Interpreters. 13 members of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, 7 judges, and 6 court executive officers volunteered to serve on an expenditure and revenue review subcommittee. That subcommittee convened on August 1st here in San Francisco and received presentations by applicable offices of the AOC on these projects and programs. It included a discussion of the impacts of funding options and any additional information necessary to allow the subcommittee members to make decisions. The subcommittee recommendations were then presented to the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee on August 14th. Similar discussions ensued, and the recommendations were approved unanimously. I should note to you that the Budget Advisory Committee is deferring a recommendation on allocating additional money from the State Court Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund above fiscal year 12-13 funding level for a telecommunications support program in order to give the committee more time to consider the need for augmentation and the equity in the allocations. As a result of the work of this subcommittee, they identify additional work for the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, which includes review of the allocation methodology for the Complex Civil Litigation Program, for court-appointed counsel funds, and for allocating money for trial court technology programs, which we know we need to do, and we need to work with Judge Herman's group in identifying the way to go about that. So with that, I will turn it over to Zlatko.
Thank you, Judge Earle. Good morning, Chief and members of the Council. We're here to discuss the authority that the Council has in allocating funds from the Trial Court Trust Fund, and TCTF, and the Improvement and Modernization Fund. As Judge Earle has mentioned, the Budget Advisory Committee did convene to review the recommendations made by the subcommittee, and we're here today to present those recommendations. From a technical standpoint, they're called Program 30.5 and 3015, but from a sort of user standpoint, these are programs that are administered by the by the council and the AOC on behalf of the trial courts, and they run a gamut of very important and critical services. They include security, self-help, education, complex litigation, audits, IT, the Phoenix system, Sergeant Shriver, civil counsel of grants, and case management system. So you can see there's a wide variety of programs that are funded from these TCTF and IMF allocations. As we've discussed previously, the IMF is in what is called a spending in a deficit mode. The prior fiscal year, it spent $18.5 million more in terms of expenditures than the revenues, the annual flow of revenues that it receives, and is projected to spend $14.1 million more in 2013-14. How can we do that? Because we have reserves in that fund. We have a bank account that we can tap into. So what's critical is that we come forward to you with a plan on how to address that structural deficit. There'll be some important decisions that you'll have to make as a council regarding that, and the subcommittee that Judge Earl referred to will be convening over the next couple of months to evaluate the sort of long-term funding strategy for that, the IMF. It will likely need some program reductions, some funding shifts, and again, we'll be bringing you some very important decisions to be made in the coming months. So as Judge Earl mentioned, we met, and all of the recommendations that are before you were, while there was lots of good discussion, they ultimately resulted in unanimous votes of the entire group. So that was a good consensus building. And again, those discussions were at the public meeting, and we did have opportunity to have public comment at that meeting a few weeks ago. So the first recommendation, and you can see the details on page 23 of your council report, in which we have a small fonted spreadsheet if you'd like to see the specific details, but we're not going to go through the entire line items. We did that as the subcommittee and the budget advisory committee. So we're asking that $67 million from the trial court improvement and modernization fund be allocated in the 12-13 fiscal year. There are some new allocations that were reviewed and recommended. There are 26 projects, as you can say, that are at the same level as the prior year, and there are a number of projects that were reduced for an overall decrease of approximately $6 million. There were some important issues that are being deferred, as Judge Earl mentioned, regarding IT. We're looking, as you heard from the report from San Diego this morning, that there are issues in terms of how our IT funding is allocated. Some courts participate in some programs, some don't, and so there is an issue of how we use branch funds to provide sufficient IT support throughout the state. Next recommendation two is regarding the Domestic Violence Family Law Interpreter Program. This is a fund shift from the IMF to the trial court trust fund, to TCTF. In terms of the comments that were made by the speaker, the council asked to convene an ad hoc committee on interpreters, and Judge Austin is working on that issue, and so there will clearly be some output from them, and that will sort of guide the future for the council in terms of how overall interpreter program should proceed. But in terms of the budget, there is $92.7 million appropriated, allocated in the budget for in Program 4545 for interpreters. The 12-13 fiscal year, we did not spend approximately 8.7 of that. Between fiscal years 9-10 and 11-12, we were averaging about $3.8 million of unspent funds, and the report does mention a fund sort of remaining that's unspent from that appropriation. So in terms of looking at the ability to manage the expenditure of this $1.73 million out of the TCTF, we don't see that this is in any way going to impact the overall service level given the current level of reimbursements. Obviously, to the extent that the ad hoc committee makes some recommendations on changes to the program, then there'll be a reevaluation. But at this point, we feel that from a numerical standpoint, that there's sufficient revenues and appropriation to absorb this interpreter program. Third recommendation is related to trial court trust fund programs. As I mentioned earlier, the trial court trust fund funds some important programs such as the Sergeant Shriver program, but it also funds case management costs. We have an issue that will be coming up before you after this regarding Fresno, and funding for their particular program is funded out of the allocation that's made here. Again, this was an issue of generally we are finding ways to save money in our IT program, and so you can see almost $3.4 million is proposed to be reduced from prior year allocation. So again, Mark Dustman and his staff are working hard to find ways to reduce the program expenditures, but there's still work to be done in that area. So the third recommendation is regarding allocating $23.4 million from the Trotcourt Trust Fund for these programs. But you can find in detail page 24 of the report. Fourth recommendation is an update to prior council approval in terms of how to administer and manage the fund. If you looked at the details on the pages that I'd identified, you'll see numerous programs, and I'll give you a prime example as to why we need this delegated authority to manage the IMF and the TCTF expenditures, which would be at the noticing of both the Budget Advisory Committee and the EMP in terms of any actions of adjustment. But say, for example, education program has a certain number of folks that they believe will be enrolled in a particular education program. They anticipate that in the beginning of the fiscal year and establish a budget. We know that enrollment can change, and so we have to be able to move within the sort of the overall pot of funds for the education program. And so rather than coming back to the council to make an adjustment for each of these line items, we ask that there's up to 20% of each item be able to be transferred so that we can make the necessary administration of the fund and the programs something we can do throughout the fiscal year, but with, like I said, appropriate notice to the Budget Advisory Committee and the Executive and Planning Committee as well. And those are the four recommendations that we put before you. Do you have any questions of us?
Thank you. Yes, Judge Rosenberg and then Commissioner Alexander.
Thank you for the presentation. I'm looking at the recommendation of $67 million and change, and the largest item there is $32 million and change for Information Technology Services Office. When I look at the detail of those items, there are significant amounts of money that sort of make the individual claims of Fresno and others pale in significance, significant amounts of money in the millions of dollars for the California Court Technology Center, for Phoenix, et cetera, et cetera. How drilled down did we get? How did we vet these items? How did we review them? Who has reviewed them? Can you give us some details there?
There was over 100 pages of materials that were provided by the offices to the Expenditure Review Committee, and we had Judge Herman participate, and we had the relevant and impacted office directors there making presentations with staff. And so we went through line items. We discussed what they were paying for. We generally, you know, had a good discussion. There was a process in which the offices made a presentation, then they were asked to leave the room, and then the subcommittee discussed it so that they could have a sort of frank and candid conversation about the items. If there were questions that were left unanswered, they brought staff in, and so that was how it went through each of the items. And there were, you know, times there were recognition that we wish we had more money to spend in certain areas as education. We felt that was an important issue. In terms of the IT, though, there was an important discussion about how the funding is to be distributed. And so that was what we're deferring as sort of any augmentations and increases from that area.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question. So you did review this line item by line item with some detailed discussion on each item.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Judge Rosenberg, the subcommittee was co-chaired by Judge Rob Trenacosta from San Diego and CEO Sherry Carter.
Thank you.
Commissioner Alexander?
Yeah, that's good. Under the resources section on page 3, it says there's $97 million, and so it's sufficient to fund the $67 million. What's the $30 million for?
Page 3.
Is that for the things that are being deferred? On second paragraph on top of page 3.
The remaining is the fund balance that we end up spending down. So it's just a, it's the math of maintaining a fund balance. We don't spend all of the revenues because we know we're in a deficit mode, and so we're going to use some of that to help offset next year's shortfall. But in part, it's part of the revenues and the resources are this big. We still have to live within an appropriation that we get from the legislature. So there is a difference between the amount that's in the bank account and the amount that we're authorized to spend.
Okay. And then what is being for these items that are going to be deferred?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that money coming from?
That would also be spent out of this fund balance and fitting within the appropriation.
And then my other question had to do with the interpreters. If the interpreters program work group decided that they should expand services, say, to civil, is the money that's being transferred, can it be transferred back?
We're discussing this with Judge Earl prior to the meeting. If in the fact that the plan was to fully exhaust both the appropriation and any of the remaining fund balances, we would likely come back to this committee to look at funding it back from the IMF. So we would shift it back as an IMF expenditure rather than funding it from the TCTF. If the plan was such that we would not be able to fund the plan going forward.
Okay.
Judge Herman.
Yeah, just adding to responding to Judge Rosenberg and also adding to Judge Earl's comment, in order to get out in front of this for next fiscal, where Judge Earl and I have agreed that we'd have a joint meeting of the Technology Committee and this subcommittee, so we can combine our expertise both from the budget side and the technical side to look further, drill down further on the technology issues Judge Rosenberg addressed.
Thank you. Judge Jacobson.
I'm prepared to make a motion to adopt all four recommendations, and particularly recommendation number four is to give some flexibility to manage the second group.
Thank you.
Second.
Second, David Yamasaki. Second, Judge McCabe. Any further discussion about any of these items, Judge Rosenberg?
Could I clarify that last caveat, giving Judge Jarr some flexibility, because I don't want to give Judge Jarr any flexibility. What does that mean, giving him some flexibility?
That there's conditions in the report in terms of 20% of a particular item could be moved within. We're not to exceed the amount that's allocated, so we don't spend more than is allocated and requested by the approved by the council, and it is at the notice of the Budget Advisory Committee and EMP in terms of that action.
How did you come up with that 20% figure?
I believe it's a historical number that the council has previously approved. There used to be, Jody.
This isn't a new recommendation.
Right, no, it's an update.
This is something that has been done annually.
Yeah, there used to be two funds. To go back a couple of years in history, there used to be an improvement fund and a modernization fund, and they each had their own guidelines. The fund was merged, and we've now updating, sort of incorporating the concepts that were previously approved by the council. But I think that it didn't include the reporting that we have now in terms of that. So
where did that 20% flex figure come from?
I believe it's just the historical percentage.
Seems large to me. That's a pretty significant. I mean, you're talking millions and millions.
It seemed appropriate for the subcommittee and the Budget Advisory Committee to have that flexibility. Yeah, it's within a particular project. Yeah, we're not moving money from IT to education. It would be within education's allotment. So we wouldn't be taking money from the IT.
What do you mean
segment.
A category?
So there were categories that were identified on page 23 and 24.
Yeah. Well, some of those categories are pretty large.
So it's each at each individual line item. So in some cases, it's a very small amount for that particular program.
Judge Elias?
Mine is really a question. Is there going to be a reporting back to the trial court budget committee that this money has been moved around so that they can keep their... That's not in the motion, though. Can we add that into the motion? It'll come back and be reported at some point, or how is that being handled?
I think it is in the motion. I think
not
you could put up item motion, I think it's recommendation number four, to delegate that authority subject to the guidelines provided in the report. The guidelines are, there's three kind of conditions to the authority. One is that the sum of allocation transfers cannot exceed 20% of the allocation to be reduced, nor 20% of the allocation to be augmented. The administrative director must notify the chairperson of the council's executive and planning committee and co-chairs of the budget advisory committee, and the administrative director must report back to the council on the rationale for amounts of any approved adjustments at the end of the
fiscal year. That is included. Thank you.
Could I just clarify? I'm looking at that same page 2, and it talks about delegating authority to, quote, transfer allocations between projects and programs. Now, you were talking about line items. What do you mean by projects and programs?
As titled, when you would look at the detail in the report, they're line items. That means there's a program or project identified for each of those line items. So it's a terminology difference.
Well, it's all about terminology, Zlatko. So is projects different than programs, and are those different than line items?
No.
So what are we giving the director authority to do?
What is listed on pages 24, 25, 26, the ability to manage those as described in the council report. So nothing different than what is presented in the report. Nothing that you don't see each
Harry, did you
project want- program line item all the same as identified on that on those three pages.
Justice Hall, and then Judge McCabe.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to clarify. I think, Judge Earl, I heard you say that if these shifting of funds occurred, that ultimately there would be a report to the council on a justification for those activities?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Judge McCabe?
Yes, thank you, Chief. As I understand in looking at this, there's a sufficient check and balance here, and it's allowing the organization the nimble response instead of having to wait and come back. I'd be concerned if it was 100%, but it's not. It's 20%. And it sounds like it's historical, so I'm satisfied that that's going to be sufficient. Two, I have a question as to the interpreter working group. Is there any indication when they're going to convene and come back with a report? I didn't hear that. Anybody know that?
September? But okay, Kirchhoff is indicating September.
So right around the corner. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's sufficient. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Jacobson.
I just want to say I want to echo Judge McCabe's the first portion of his comments about using the concept of nimbleness. We've hired Judge Jarrett to do a job. He's clearly doing a very good job, in my view. And this 20% flexibility measure, if you will, makes sense. We have a large organization. We need to be able to run it timely and efficiently.
And may I add just one thing? On page 3, where we do report last year's transfers, one was $18,000, one was $57,000, one was $20,000. So there.
So you don't need 20%.
That remains to be seen.
That could have been 20% of that particular
yes.
program.
Yeah.
Plan for the worst, right? Hope for the best.
Not seeing any more hands raised. All in favor of adopting items 1 through 4, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
I vote no.
One no, all aye. Matters are accepted. Thank you. I think you're staying up there for the next panel, and you're being joined by Judge Herman.